RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, flavor. Please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Welcome back to Ian Beckles and Flavor in Your Ear. This is number three. And there's been a common bond to all the shows that we've had to this point. The first show was at Smokin' Aces, which was in Plant City, a beautiful barbecue place over there. Actually, I'm going to be doing my show on 102.5 The Bone from Smokin' Aces on Sunday from 11 to 1. I'm going to have the lovely Brooke Bennett, Olympic gold medalist, and also Lynn Austin, the original Hooters girl. So I'm going to have the lovely ladies over there at Smokin' Aces on Sunday from 11 to 1 if you want to come hang out. I think Mike Calta said he might hang out, and maybe Carmen as well. So we usually make it a party, DJ Don Pablo in the house, and you know, it is a party, that's for sure. Then I went to Gennaro's last week at Paso Grill, saw my boy Marcello, tasted some of the most delicious pizza ever in that lobster pizza, which is ridiculous, created by the great Johnny B, of course. So we went from Plant City to Paso Grill, and now we're right in the middle of the hood in my barrio, downtown Tampa at Anise. Place has been here for a while. Been here a few times and always amazed at how delicious the food is. And they're always stepping up their game, which is beautiful. It's in downtown Tampa, right across from Curtis Hickson. I think everybody knows where that is by now. Tampa's come a long way since 1990 when I got here. And there used to never be a festival. Now there's a festival every single day, it seems like, at Curtis Hickson. So Anise, right across from Curtis Hickson, downtown Tampa. Now, I always have somebody step in with me and talk a little bit. I don't want to sit here and, you know, chomp on my gums for 2 hours. That's not what I want to do. That's tiring. But I'm going to bounce off of the great Greg Wolf. If you don't know that name, I'm sure you know the face. Greg is the voice and I guess the face as well of the Lightning, the Storm, all the USF sports. I used to roll with him over there at Clear Channel and iHeart. Just is in the middle of just about everything. So Greg is in the know with all the things going on here in the Bay Area. I know he loves good food just like I do. And he's really hip to a lot of the events that are going on. And he's involved in a lot of sports as well. So we're going to talk a little sports, not too much, because that gets a little boring. We'll talk about events. We'll talk about restaurants as we normally do. We'll talk about some topics as well. I like to delve into different topics with, you know, different types of people. We had Mary Delgado last week. We didn't agree with everything as far as Donald Trump goes, but that's what's good. I mean, if two people are on one side, sometimes it sounds like piling on. And it's not easy to find somebody who's supporting Trump. So I don't know if she was supporting him, but she wasn't letting me pile on him. And I'm not here to pile on anybody because I think he's doing a pretty darn good job himself of burying himself at this moment. And it's been almost a month. So I don't know how it's going to last 4 years. I don't know how that whole thing is possible. So we're going to talk a little bit about politics, obviously all the shenanigans and tomfoolery that were going on. Talk about the Grammys as well. Very entertaining, if anything. Some outlandish type stuff going on, but that makes for good viewing. And some acts, I don't know. I don't know if I like some acts as much as some other people because there's not a whole lot of talent out there anymore. There really isn't. But some of it was displayed in the Grammys a couple weeks ago, which was good. But I got some comments on that. And I want to talk a little bit about the millennials and kids these days and the way these kids are growing up since, you know, I'm 49 years old, so I'm not dead yet. But in 10 years or in 8 years, all these millennials that we keep on talking about how have no fight in them, they're going to be running our country. So I think we should be a little bit more concerned about the way our kids are being raised. You know, parenting is one thing, teachers is another, just the school system in general. I'm not sure if the school system's even really teaching these kids the right things. And I actually went to a school the other day. My boy, DJ Mingle Mix, he said, yo, he said, Beck, I got these kids. They need help. I want you to come talk to them, you know, steer them in the right direction. So I rolled over there. Woodlawn Elementary was in St. Pete. It's in the hood. And rolled up in there and to talk to the kids and went and talked to the principal a little bit. And when they took me back to see these kids, you would think that you were at like Lowry Park Zoo, okay? It didn't resemble anything that looked like a classroom. I mean, kids were hanging off chandeliers, doing cartwheels, anything but schooling, okay? And it sounds like it's crazy. Where was a teacher? But think about if you have the worst kids or the worst kids in the worst area, who wants that job? So who do you think gets that job? The person that gets that job is whoever is the one that's able to take the most Xanax, because she was completely separated from everything. Like, she didn't care anything that was going on. And I'm not blaming her, because I was there for 5 minutes and I've never seen kids that bad in my damn life. Never. Let me give you a good example. You're thinking if I'm exaggerating, and I know that I could curse on podcasts, but I'm trying not to. Okay. I'm trying to keep my brain pure for when I'm on the real radio. Cause that they frown upon it. Okay. I like the fact that I'm allowed to curse, which makes things a lot easier, but I'm going to try not to. So I walk up in the class and I have this little boy and the teacher's trying to escort him out. And a little boy said, get your MFing hands off me, bitch. And I stopped and looked back and he stared at me and he walked out. And I've been around a lot of schools. I'm old. I was in school a long time ago. I never saw a kid curse at a teacher. Never in my whole scholastic career. I've never seen it. And I saw this, I want to say third grade kid, turn around and completely curse out his teacher like that. And I was in shock. I didn't know what to say. So I ended up talking to his kids, and I will talk to Greg about it a little bit when he comes up, because I'm going to vent a little bit, because it's necessary, because I'm scared of where this, you know, society and our planet and our country is going, because, you know, where are the kids supposed to go to see the right example now? I mean, they can't watch the news and see it, that's for sure. I mean, it seems like every other day some teacher sleeping with a student. So I don't know if to the teachers are the way to go. And listen, I have the utmost respect for teachers, utmost. I believe wholeheartedly they should be paid more money. So then you get more of the cream of the crop. Okay. The reason why we're not getting the cream of the crop, because we're not paying them no damn money. When somebody says they want to be a teacher, you almost look at them like, oh, that's noble, because they don't make any dang money. They should be making more money. If you're in the head of the government, you want to do something that's going to make a whole lot of sense, raise every teacher's salary up 10%. Try that, okay? Just run off rip. See if anybody complains about that. Because this is, you know, those are our children in there being taught by those people that we hope are legitimate people. But, I mean, and people don't make it, oh, there's a woman that slept with a 15-year-old boy. That's not a big, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. You want that woman to be making decisions and in front of your kid, teaching your kids moral ethics? I mean, when you're 30-something years old, don't look at the 15-year-old boys. Well, how about that? And you're going to sleep with them? I mean, I personally don't want those people anywhere near my children. So, you know, listen, the world is a crazy place. I do my best to get out there and spread whatever little knowledge that I have. And I get a chance to go and speak to a lot of, you know, football teams. I talked to Northeast High School the other day, my boy Jeremy, Jeremy Freud, good people. He said, come talk to my kids as a banquet. I want you to give them a couple kind words. And I went up there and spoke for a little bit, and there was a young man who also coached at Maslin in Ohio and been to a couple major schools, and he said, that's one of the better speeches that I've seen. And I said, well, I appreciate it. And he goes, because you don't pull any punches, you tell people the truth. And that's really all I got. So I'm speaking to kids, I'm speaking to football teams, I mean, I spoke to the senior class of IADT, which is International Academy of Design and Technology, and it's all the same message, okay? I spoke to businesses. Kia had all their major salespeople, and I went up there and spoke to them, and I got a lot of handshakes afterwards, said it was inspiring, because you think about it, I've been inspired by, you know, some of the best leaders ever. I mean, when you talk about best leaders ever, I mean, people, they go to generals usually, and whether it's right or wrong, right after that are going to go to sports coaches and managers. That's when we think of leaders. So people like Tony Dungy in my world was a leader. Even somebody like Ray Rhodes is a kind of a crazy leader, but definitely a leader. Bill Parcells I was exposed to. And these guys are all great motivators. Rod Marinelli. So I took a little bit of everybody's spiel and created my own thing. And I think, and I enjoy talking to people. That's definitely an important thing. And I also love eating food as well. Okay. So if you guys are looking for somewhere to come eat and have some wonderful food as well, Anise right here across from Curtis Hickson, they do it right. Right about 11 o'clock, they're going to bring us a little smorgasbord of food. I just started my Weight Watchers program, so I'm going to take a little nibble in this and that, you know, just so I don't, you know, pile up those numbers. But I'm definitely going to have one of those wings that they had. I don't know what the name of those wings are, them Asian wings that were ridiculous. They have these, they call stinky rolls, and I had the one that was shrimp, and that wasn't one of the better things I've ever tasted in my dang life. So we're going to hang out. We're going to talk to the great Greg Wolf. I'm going to have Ryan Brown, who is the beverage director, is going to be coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about spirits as well. He was spitting knowledge a little bit earlier, talking about tequilas and gins and vodkas, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to spread the knowledge, and we're going to have some fun as well. And once again, at 11 o'clock, their chef, Ian Tromer, is going to bring us out a bunch of food. We're going to talk about that and hang out. The great Greg Wolf in the house. What's up, kid?
Feeling good.
You all right?
Feeling great. Love being downtown at 9 a.m. on a Thursday morning or yes. Whatever it is. It's beautiful out here. I'm loving it. I was a little tired from last night's game, but I'm here.
What was the results of last night?
Not good.
No, it was bad?
Not good.
You're talking about USF basketball?
Yes, I am. I will say this.
Are you still cheering for them? Or are you just
voicing for them? No, I cheer for them.
Really?
I mean, I'm happy for them.
Why are you happy
that
for
they're playing and those kids are getting an education?
I'm happy that they're still playing too.
Because
they might get ousted soon.
So here's the deal. Yeah, they had some hiccups this year. They lost their coach. Antigua is gone.
They're like the girl who couldn't get rid of the hiccups. Remember that girl?
Yeah.
They've been hiccuping all season.
Long time we've been hiccuping.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was some promise when the year started. They won some games, but then they let go of coach. And ever since they let go of coach, we won one game, and that game was the other night.
Out of how many?
Out of a lot.
Like 20?
Like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Hadn't won in the conference. But then they played East Carolina the other night, and I was what team is this? Because they played like a full game, like all around defense, special. I mean, everything. They were great. So I was hopeful last night that they were going to.
I know you're a hopeful dude, though.
Yeah,
but you know, you notice sometimes I got to try to bring you down to earth. Sometimes
you bring me down all the time
because you know when you come off of one game, you're like, who is this? And the question is, that's a good question. Who was that?
Well,
that was an anomaly.
True story.
Okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the Patriots play poorly, you go, who is this?
Right. Not team we're normally seeing.
That's what I'm saying.
So when you do win, yeah, it's the
opposite. You got to put a few in a row. It's important.
Which I was hopeful, but Cincinnati's only lost 3 games all year. So they're 15-0 at home.
Okay.
They were 6-2.
So y'all ain't beating them anytime soon.
They held their own the first half, and that was it.
Yeah, well, that's
so that's been the story of USF basketball.
It's been tough. This is Ian Beckles and Flavor in Your Ear. Greg Wolf, the voice of the Lightning, the voice of the Storm, the voice of USF. The voice of reason.
Sometimes. Not always, but
yeah,
try.
No doubt. Now, we're here at Anise.
Yes.
One of my favorite. Have you eaten here?
I have not eaten here.
Oh, man.
Before.
You are going to be happy at 11.
Okay.
At 11, you're going to be happy.
I'm happy now.
Yeah,
just
you
to
are.
Be here.
No, it's beautiful in here, first of all.
It is gorgeous. My compliments to the decorator.
Seriously.
They did a great job, but as far as like location goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could have a better backdrop when Curtis Hickson Park is across the street and the University of Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just is a ideal location, but the decor is fantastic. And you've been raving about the food for so long. So
you know, I just don't rave, right?
No, so it's not about food. No, not about food. I mean, obviously, flavor in your ear. Yeah. Obviously, you know, you've got the flavor in Tampa when it comes to food. And you've taken me to some really fantastic places. I don't recall any place that you've taken me to that isn't good.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Nah, like I'm not gonna never. Do that. So, you know, I have no question whatsoever what's going to be coming out of that kitchen today.
Well, I've heard from a bunch of people that I finally said, okay, let's do it. And I went here and sat down and had about three or four dishes, which were amazing.
What's your go-to?
They had these little, they're called stinky buns.
Okay.
They're actually those little bowl.
The little white fluffy things, yeah.
And they got, you could put pork belly, you could put shrimp in it. The shrimp one was mind-blowing.
Why? Spicy, sweet.
Well, a little of everything, and I think they had fried green tomatoes in it. I'm telling you, it was like I bit it, and I was like, "What's happening in my mouth?" You
know
what I
mean?
So it was beautiful. I also had their wings, which are ridiculous. They're like Asian, but they're fried and they're crispy, like
sold,
done, dizzle.
You had me at Asian,
yeah. And I also they have fantastic burgers here too.
So everything,
and you know, I love me a burger.
Of course,
I love me a good burger.
Anything with meats and cheeses.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
The finest.
Well, Curtis Hicks is right across the street, and I'm sure they get a lot of love from, you know, all the Curtis Hicks and events that go on, which are ridiculous. How many events do you think Curtis Hicks does a week? More than 1 week, you think?
You know. Maybe, no.
Every Saturday, you think?
There's definitely something every weekend, it seems. They may have a weekend or two that there's not a whole lot going on, mm-hmm. but I definitely think there's probably one to two events in that park a week.
Absolutely.
If not more.
Now, I was just talking to a few people. I'm trying to get the next place to do the next dignitary party, kind of like at the same level that we did the first one over at the casino, which was legendary.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be. Well,
you know,
okay, well, that's what we do.
That's
though.
The goal, though.
That's what we do. Absolutely.
It's
to top that one. I'm not going down.
No, you can't go down.
I can't do that.
You have to outdo the last part.
Absolutely. When you're a rookie, that's as bad as you're going to play.
Right.
And we came out swinging.
Sweet.
Yeah, people still talking about it. So I'm looking for a venue. Went to Capitol Theater, talked to them a little bit, trying to get into District 3, but that's like getting to Fort Knox. I can't get in there for some reason.
We'll
anybody from
out.
District 3, holla at your boy, Ian Beckles, please hit me up.
Yes.
I'm just trying to see you play. I've been there one time. I don't really remember it. I think I was late at night.
Because, yeah, you're thinking when it was the garage.
No, I think I've been into when it was District 3. But like I said, I think it was late night.
Okay,
and
so you were a couple deep.
Things were fuzzy
at that point.
And whatnot.
I get it.
You know,
it
happens at times.
It does.
Especially late night. I don't remember too many clear things late night.
Are we talking after midnight?
I don't remember at that time, but it's be late.
2 a.m.
No, I just know. I'm old, bro.
Well, sometimes
I'm old,
you gotta let
bro.
Loose, you know?
No. I don't let loose like that no more. Mm. Yeah, I don't remember last time I was out past 2 a.m. I don't remember.
It wasn't
it's
one
years.
Of your dignitary parties?
Well, at the casino is different.
Oh, what,
that doesn't count.
Yeah.
No, that's different.
No driving, I guess so.
Because the time is different in a casino.
No, there is no clock.
At the casino, you look down, I look at my watch, and I go,
oh, damn, it's 6 a.m.
5 o'clock?
Yeah, dude.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's what I'm saying.
And everybody's looking around, and nobody's left.
No, you get sucked into that place.
I don't know. They're talking about, you know, they're pumping oxygen through there. I don't know if it's not, you know.
Well, that's fine.
Straight adrenaline.
Yeah, why not?
If just gamble. Let's gamble
all day.
All day. So, I mean, what other choices do I have here in the Bay Area for like a nice venue? I met with Matt Salmon yesterday. We're actually talking about. I would love to do an event that's going to be dignitary based and have all the vendors inside the boards on the on the rink.
They do that.
And put a stage up there and have somebody play.
It was Glitz and Sticks.
Okay.
They used to do that. That was more bougie. But there was another event where they cover the ice.
I've seen it, yeah.
And they had vendors and people all throughout the ice, all in high top tables and chairs and music.
That's wonderful.
And the arena does a fantastic job too because they'll decorate that
That's
thing
what they
up with
do.
Trees,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And bushes, and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, man, this is a whole different look than what I'm normally used to. So that's actually not a bad idea. To be honest with you, is because the Amalie Arena, just in the Fire Stick Grill area, you can do a bougie event in the kitchen-like areas right in the middle, so you can do displays of food. And obviously, Amalie's got world-class chefs
I want it to be a big event. I want it to be
big. Well, you said venue, so I'm just giving you an option.
Sure, yeah.
Amalie Arena does have some good options as far as spaces. Mm-hmm. Another spot that not a lot of people know about is the Rialto Theater.
Some, you're the second person that brought the, no, you brought up
I did
the,
bring yeah, it up yeah, to you.
I
yeah.
never
yeah.
heard of the Rialto
it's,
Theater.
It's right up the street, literally. It's like two
Isn't
blocks
there
from
theater?
There. It's not too far from that. Okay. It's just up a little bit.
Is it open or is it like the Tapa Theater?
No, it's more of an open. They basically took one of these old buildings. They kind of left the infrastructure and the architecture. Okay. They kind of renovated
a warehouse
it.
Warehouse type
open.
Of?
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
so you
what, that's
can,
what I'm talking about.
You can really kind of decorate it however you want. You can bring in stage and lighting. They have lighting in there
Rialto
already.
Rialto Theater, holla at me.
Rialto Theater is another spot that I don't think a lot of people know about. I don't think Franklin Manor is big enough for what you're looking for.
No, looking
I love those guys. It's a great venue, though. If you
That's a great venue for a little Friday night happy hour joints, you know what I mean? Something like that, you know?
And with the outside stage, you know, and they got food there, too.
And it's bigger than it looks. It's bigger than it looks. It looks. How many people do you think it fit there? 500?
Inside and outside combined, more than that.
You think so?
Yes, because the inside is like a square. It's like a rectangle. It's like a box. And so, yes, you have the bar area, and you've got some high-top tables and stuff. So, but if you add that outside patio area, you can. It's a couple hundred more you can get in there.
Sure.
So, you know, people, I think, don't realize how big that place is.
We're downtown Tampa is blowing up. Okay, it's coming because I was just talking to Ryan about Fly Bar, which I enjoy.
Fly School spot.
I guess the owner of Fly Bar opened Hotel Bar, which I've not been.
Never heard
and I
of
guess
that.
Me neither. So I guess the food is excellent. District Tavern, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that are popping up. You know.
I still like the old
places.
Schools, like the Jerk Hut down here and Eddie
please.
And Sam's Pizza.
Jerk Hut is off the chain, bro.
Spot.
It's really,
really
nice.
Good, like, nice spots downtown if you haven't been down. But like you said, even the new spots, like here, like Anise's.
Coffee joints.
For a while.
Yeah, tea joints, you know what I mean?
Channel Side's got a bunch of new spots, man. Fabrica.
See, I've not really checked that out. I mean, I've go by every once. I've never stopped at Channel Side though. There's not really a reason to stop there.
But you can bike down there. You know what I mean?
Which I do.
Like,
yes.
Right. So
yes.
It's not far trip from the crib. You know
okay.
What I mean?
That's not
take
a bad
a little
idea. Yeah.
Stroll through Channel Side one day
on the inside.
Just go take your bike up and down those streets by where District Tavern is, and just look see what's.
Oh, there's
all
different stuff
there.
Popping
there's
up all over the place.
Over the place down there.
I thought you meant Channel Side, like actually in the court area.
Oh, no, like
nothing really is in there, is it?
Well, I'm wondering when is that. Construction, when is Vinick gonna tear all that and start?
I mean,
it's got to be soon because you see what's happening across from Amalie right now. So all that infrastructure for the Florida or USF Medical Center, all that stuff is like starting to come to fruition. But Channel Side, we know that's getting destroyed and rebuilt, and the park's gonna be there's gonna be another park down there by the water. So they're doing it up big.
Yeah,
I don't know if you looked into those plans.
Oh, no,
doing it up.
Well, I was
imagine what's coming.
Sure, I was talking to Matt, who worked for the Lightning and the Storm. And he basically said to me yesterday, I'm not allowed to say anything, but Jeffrey Vinick and his old enterprise is about to get substantially stronger. That's all he said. And I said, can you elaborate? He said, nope.
I don't know how
but
much.
That's
how,
what I'm
how
saying,
more,
though. That's what I'm saying. How much stronger?
Got, right. Bill Gates' company is involved in this project.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, Jeffrey Vinick, how much more could you get, like you just said? Right
and
there?
I looked at him and he goes, no, not baseball. That's what everybody's going to think it's baseball, but I don't think Jeffrey Vinick wants anything to do with baseball. I really don't.
I don't think he does either, but I think if it came down to the city losing the team, I think he would step in.
See, I don't know.
I think he would.
I don't know.
Does he not have a minority stake in the Red Sox?
Yeah. But,
so if he does, if he has that, why?
So let me ask you, why would he want the team to stay here if they don't bring anybody? Why wouldn't you want him to go to Las Vegas and pack the house? He'd make more money with the
because
Red Sox,
I don't
right?
think it's about that for Jeffrey Vinick. I think it's about this is his home.
Okay.
This is his community. This is where he will retire. This is where he's
going
to.
So all his money, a lot of his money are in the Lightning. So you're going to say if the Rays leave, that's bad for business?
I think by him keeping the community together, by having another professional sports organization in our market, at the end of the day, helps the Lightning, helps the Bucks. It helps.
I disagree.
Okay, well, you're allowed to.
How many franchises are in Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Now
the Packers.
Where is the love?
As far as what do you mean? Everything is in Green Bay
with the Packers.
That's great.
So, like, when you go to Iowa,
but that's Green
you know who
Bay.
Everybody loves.
What is Green Bay's market number compared to Tampa? Tampa's what? A top 20 market.
Have you looked at
Green Bay? Is
no,
what
I understand. 162. I understand that. Well, have you looked in the stands?
That has to do with money. I mean, if you want to get in all that,
ain't got nothing to do with money.
Payrolls and bringing in quality.
It has to do with love. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with love.
I get that. The love for the Lightning is not going anywhere.
No, of course
ever.
Not. Well, not if Jeff Vinnick's still there.
Even if Mr. Vinnick is passed away and some new ownership comes in,
I'm telling you, Jeff Vinnick is the glue. I'm telling you.
He is the glue.
If he's not there, it's going to be different. I'm telling you, it's going to be different.
I'm sure it would be different, but he's not going anywhere.
Oh, no, I know he's not going anywhere, but I believe, I truly believe that the feel of the owner sometimes goes a long way. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
When like Steinbrenner- some people don't go to the Bucks because they don't like the owner. That's a fact. I've heard it.
True.
I've heard it.
I can't disagree with that. But when I think when Steinbrenner passed, Vinnick took the torch, so to speak. If you think about,
but those are two different dudes.
They
man.
Are, but they did a lot for their community and for yes. Tampa Bay.
Yes,
so
yes,
you know, like you said. Ownership has been different ups and downs in our market. you know what I mean? But I think, like you said, Mr. Vinnick, he is entrenched here. What his plans are for the city, everybody's seen them now. And like you said, if our city is going to grow and develop, he's a huge part of all of it. But I think, honestly, if I really had to put my marbles in it, I think that if the city was to lose the Rays... Mm-hmm. Or it was in a serious threat, I think he would step in it some way and try to keep him there.
See, there's only one question that I ask everybody, and I've been asking it for years, and nobody's answered this question yet. It's the most important question out there.
Sure.
This is the most important. Forget about the rest.
Okay.
Who is going to pay for the stadium?
That would go on the taxpayers.
No, it's not.
Yes, it will.
No, it's not.
Sure will.
After what happened with the referendum,
yes.
with the stadium,
yes.
people are still bellyaching about that.
Know,
and that's a product tax. And that's a product that brings money into our community. Okay? Baseball really doesn't. Okay. Hey, look, like listen, like none. Okay? Nobody's flying here to watch the raid. No, it's not happening,
I mean,
okay? So you think you're gonna have a referendum that's gonna bring a stadium here, go ahead on. Well, hey, Donald Trump's our president, so anything could be possible.
Exactly.
Anything could be damn possible. But,
bro.
No. Okay. the team's not going to pay for it. You know that, right?
The team would not pay
no,
for
okay.
it.
No, okay. Major League Baseball's not going to pay for it?
No.
Nobody's going to buy the team. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, when you put it like that, I see where you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I do, but.
And listen, why would you want to put a baseball team in a state that doesn't back professional sports?
In what way?
Anyway,
the state.
What's the most? What's the most popular attendance-wise professional team in Florida? You pick any sport. Lightning. Keep on going. Lightning is way up top
for sure.
Who's second?
In Florida?
All of Florida. Any sport?
I would say probably the Miami Dolphins.
No way. Miami Dolphins. Nobody goes there.
Bro,
the Miami Heat would be basketball too. Miami Heat would be for them, but it goes up and down.
Right.
It all depends on how well they're playing.
Correct.
Some cities, some sports, it could be down as hell.
No question.
And they're still showing up, okay?
No question.
So, you know, but the same people that say that I can't drive down that bridge to get to baseball turn around every week and they head to Gainesville and go watch their Florida Gators play football.
Right.
Not only do they drive four times further,
right.
they pay for a hotel,
right.
they pay for all that gas,
right.
they got to go out to a restaurant. They can drive to Tropicana Field right there,
right.
park for free. Bring your food in, and you're complaining about it, it's just you don't really love the team. It's no deeper than that to me. I wish it was.
No, I mean, I can't really argue that point too much.
Yeah.
I think the game itself, and I know they're trying to work on speeding up the game. I know that they're trying to, but that's been, that's been my biggest qualm is when I go or bring my lady to a game, she's on her phone the whole time because it's so damn slow. When you look at hockey.
You're allowed to say boring if you want. It's the same. It's the same word.
Yes, to me, coming from hockey,
yeah.
where it's constantly moving,
there's constant action.
That's what I'm saying. Then you go to a baseball game. I'm not entertained because it moves too slow for me.
You're comparing Beyonce and Precious.
don't
do that. You went from one extreme to the other. Seriously.
What I'm saying is in the world of sports, I mean, football too, you know, football's constantly moving, but there's timeouts, there's huddles, the game slows down.
Football is timed perfectly.
I agree. I think it's,
football's timed perfectly.
It is.
There's not a lot of downtime in football because when there's a play,
There's some downtime.
Every play is so important in football that people commentate on every play, almost. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I can't believe they break. And you got to give people that little cushion to break it down and then evaluate what's going to happen next. Right. You know, hockey, which I love, in person.
In person. Okay,
on TV, it's good. It's not football. And on TV, no.
I agree.
No.
I agree,
oh, you don't have to agree.
There's too much.
Listen, you don't have to agree. Hey, the ratings will agree for you.
Right.
Okay, hockey's just, people don't watch that much damn hockey.
No, and that's why, you know, ESPN doesn't really give it a whole lot of love.
And shouldn't I tell you something? They get, other than Barry Melrose.
Considering where they're located, yes.
But other than Barry Melrose, hockey is doesn't exist on ESPN.
It does not.
The fact that they don't have a game a week on ESPN is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's not on their networks, and I get all that, but they don't give it any love at all.
But
until you get to the playoffs.
But I'm going
to
say this, okay, and this is what the unfortunate part of hockey and really every other sport, okay? Because other than football, really nobody really wants the other sports, okay? And the reason why football will always be king, always, people don't watch other people's teams on the other sports.
What do you mean?
Okay, so if you're a Lightning fan, out of 100 Lightning fans, okay, randomly pick 100.
Okay.
When they get knocked out of the playoffs, how many of those 100 do you think still watch the playoffs?
I think in the hockey fan world, a bunch of them still watch.
I said in Tampa.
Oh, I would say 40%. Okay.
If it's higher than 10, I'd be shocked.
I think people watch it because they love the sport. Hockey fans love the sport of hockey.
I love the sport too. I love my team.
That's great.
I love my team in baseball.
Right.
When they get out, I'm out.
Baseball, I don't watch. I'll watch if, like, the Rays, when they went through their playoff run,
sure,
I watch. But hockey, I will watch, you know what I mean, because I enjoy the sport. So if the Lightning get knocked out, I want to see the Stanley Cup.
So in the first round of the playoffs in hockey, you're watching all the different games?
No, but I'll keep up with what's going on. I'll flip through.
What about football?
Same thing. If I'm not
you watch every game in football. Stop it.
Come on, man.
Everybody watches every single game every Sunday. Get out of here.
Listen.
What are you doing on Sunday? You're not watching football.
Fantasy football. Yes, okay. I watch every game.
Okay, then
when
that's what I said.
Playoffs. I'm watching just because I want to see, you know, who's going to advance. Yes. I want to see who's in the playoffs.
Doesn't matter why you want to see it. Everybody's watching it. You know, how many people.
Football rules.
You know how many people that I know watch playoff hockey?
A lot.
You.
Come on, man.
No, seriously. I mean, seriously.
Listen, you'd be surprised.
No, I don't think I would.
Okay.
I don't think
I
would.
You're entitled to your opinion.
It's not an opinion.
It's fact.
Exactly.
No, it's fact.
It is fact.
Saying.
That listen, okay. Listen, I love the Tampa Bay area. I think we have a great fan base hockey-wise, but I'm from Montreal, Canada.
Right.
So it's really hard. Once again, Beyonce, Precious.
Sure.
That's the spectrum.
I get it.
Because hockey's been around a long time.
And
when they
time.
Talk about hockey in Montreal, they're breaking down the draft like we break down the NFL draft.
Right.
And I'm like, what? They're talking about the fifth round of the draft.
Sure.
This kid from Chicoutimi is 5'7", 185, and his strengths, I'm like, yeah. You can't name me one eligible hockey player for next year's draft.
Me personally?
Yes.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I can't. I'm not that passionate.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But you go elsewhere where the passion is like that. Spread.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a different part of the world.
It is a different part of the world.
We're football through and through in America. I get it.
Through and through.
But you'll say the same stuff. People say the same thing you're talking about for high school kids here for football. Man, that kid from
They love high school football.
Oh,
here.
Come on, man.
They high love school, high school football
here, Texas.
Yeah.
I think are two of the bigger in the country.
Actually, I wouldn't compare Texas and Florida.
As far
Texas
as
Texas is king.
I know what I'm saying. As far as when it comes to recruiting, as far as it comes to how much the community loves their high school football,
but Texas.
Oh, and Texas is next level.
Texas next level. Yeah. But 40,000 in high school football games.
You know, I get it. Their stadiums are like college. I get it.
Their schools are ridiculously big, and they get ridiculous talent. Like if you're not very good, not even good.
Right.
You're not very good. You're not making the football team.
I will say this though, Florida is up there with Texas. You can say it or you don't have to agree with me, but I don't know.
I don't know if I put Florida.
How many kids come out of Florida that go to play for college? And you're like, damn, another kid from Florida.
I'd have to look that. I don't know the statistics on that one.
All the time.
I think you may.
I don't see a whole lot of Texas kids.
Well, you're not really
SEC.
Looking either. You're not really looking either.
I'm not really looking. But yeah. I do notice when they're Florida kids.
But once again, you're making like the SEC is the only conference in town. They may be looking at, you know, who's at Texas and Texas A&M.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's more relevant to them. Listen, I'm a Big Ten guy, okay? And the Big Ten hasn't been all that great as of late, although the last couple of years I thought they'd represent.
Better.
But when you talk about SEC, everybody, you know, they look down at their nose at Big Ten. When I was growing up, we looked down at the SEC. So it's cyclical. It goes on. And 5 years from now, other than Alabama, SEC hasn't been great the last couple of years.
No, they haven't.
They really haven't.
No.
So it's kind of going up
cyclical,
and down.
Bro.
So, you know, we'll see. But back when I was playing back in the day, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, if you beat Michigan State ever, you can play forever. I mean, they ain't no punks. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, you know, it depends where you are. And, you know, when you're in Ohio, it's not that big of a deal to go to Florida. It's a big deal to go to Ohio State.
Right.
Or Michigan. Right. You know, so they're getting the cream of the crop. And people want to know, I went to Indiana. And people want to know why Indiana can't compete. How the hell are they going to compete when everywhere around them is better? Think about who are you going to go to? Ohio State,
Iowa.
Michigan, Iowa, Michigan State, Notre Dame. And those are all right there.
It's true. You're in that, what is that, the Bible Belt?
Whatever. But they're going to suck up all of Indiana's
football players. Pool from their area, just like these Florida schools in the South. They pool from Florida, just like Texas is pooling from their own state.
Absolutely. Ian Beckles with Flavor in the Air. Got my boy Greg Wolf. I was bellyaching earlier about millennials and went and talked to that school that your boy Mingle Mix sent me to, Woodlawn Elementary.
I'm supposed to go there in a couple weeks.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Brace yourself.
You've told me.
Do you have a bulletproof vest? These third graders don't play.
I know they don't play, man. I admire what he does to have to deal with that every day.
You know what I mean? I don't know how. Listen.
It takes a special
kind I don't of like person. Other people's kids.
No, well, we know this.
Okay,
this
other than I like to talk to kids, but I hate to be around bad kids. Like, I don't like my kids are not bad. I mean, that's just, you know.
Well trained and.
Yeah, that's important to me, though. It's important to me.
Absolutely.
So when I see a kid without manners, I look at the parent.
Of course.
It ain't the kid.
Well, you don't know their background, why they're in that situation either.
Manners is something that is taught.
Of course.
And this is on everything I love. Look, on both my parents are deceased. On everything I love, I never disrespected anybody in front of either one of them ever. Never one time.
Ever
not
anybody.
One
of course.
Time.
We were raised properly.
Okay? So when I see these parents allowing their kids to do whatever the hell they want to do.
Talking back.
I mean.
Attitude.
The whole thing. And like, listen, we live in South Tampa, bro. There's some non-parenting going. And everybody's like, look at that kid. Look at that parent hitting that kid in Walmart. That's a better parent than you.
Right.
That's a better parent than you allowing your kid to do whatever the hell they want to do and jump up and down, you know, at the grocery store. I want that this.
Right.
I want this. No, you can't have that. And then jump on the flail on the ground. You know what? What?
Dude.
If I had a flail on the ground, first of all, it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Okay.
But
let's start there. But if I did flail on the ground, I'm sure my dad would have probably kicked my ribs in. That's real talk. Like I didn't like people don't understand when I talk about growing up.
Right, and
like
it was a different era, man.
It's a different era,
it was
bro.
A different era. Like even me growing up is a different
it's
era
different.
Than yours. But
yeah, but
no, we
and,
had
I'm,
a,
and I'm older than you, but I'm telling you, my father was older than that.
Right.
Like he's old school.
Right.
Like didn't play.
Right,
and I was like, I'm just telling you, my dad didn't joke around that
right.
much. You know
but
what I'm
your
saying?
Kids are gonna say the same thing about you. My dad didn't joke
no,
around.
No, but
you know what I mean,
compared to my dad. Like, my dad didn't even talk that much. He really didn't. He just kind of sat around and, you know, he looked at people
man.
And nobody acted a fool in front of him. Nobody.
Right.
And, you know, he would go fishing. Fishing was about all we had in common. We would go fishing and he would say like three words all day long. And it was just kind of like focus. Everything was focus, you know? He worked. That's what he did.
Sure.
And when I see these kids now, I'm compared, like, the relationship I have with my son is considerably looser. Than
yeah.
my dad,
well,
you know
what
I mean?
Different individual,
and,
for
yeah,
sure.
absolutely. And you want to improve. Now, listen, everybody, This the one thing I hate people say is I'm a good parent. I hate when somebody says that. What? Nobody should say that themselves.
Right.
Because nobody knows a parameter. Sure. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like what you think is doing being a good parent, may think is being a bad parent.
Right.
Like to me, when somebody says, I'm best friends with my kids, I'm a good parent.
You're not supposed to be best friends with your kid.
Right? If you're on the same level with your kid, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. You have to be the authoritative figure in their life.
If you can't tell your kid what to do,
that's not you're not parenting.
You're not parenting.
Right. You ask them to do something, clean the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher.
If they live in your house.
Yeah.
They got to do what you say,
right?
Period.
I remind my daughter all the time where she's like, Dad, you didn't get me these cheese. I'm like, that food you're eating right now tastes pretty good, doesn't it? That I just spent 25 minutes cooking for you and those lights on, that Wi-Fi you have for your laptop. Yeah. I'm like, interesting.
It's all good, right?
Yeah, how'd that stuff get turned on?
Yeah. And, you know, back in the day, I don't know about you, I didn't have a lot, you know what I mean? So my mother couldn't really take anything away from me. I didn't have anything, but now you send the kid to their room,
and they got
a 60-inch TV. You know, they got the internet and hella porn. Okay, so I'd have been like, all right, I'm heading to my room.
Sweet,
I'm gonna grab this box of Kleenex.
No. Now it's you're going sitting on the porch, and you have nothing.
Is that what it is?
Yes, you're going to sit on the back porch. You don't have a phone. You don't have.
Yeah. That sounds silly.
It does.
Go sit on the porch.
Go sit on the porch.
It doesn't sound right.
You can't even get the dogs to go out there with you. You just sit out there and do nothing.
See, my parents.
That's a punishment.
I never got punished like that. Like, I never, like, go to your room. My mother would just bust me in the head. Bust me in the head.
You know, different. And
then, yeah.
I got some spankings back in the day a few times. I got thrown one time from the door to the bed. My dad literally threw me across the room.
You know what's funny? My dad never put his hand on me.
My dad never put. He came close. You know what I mean?
My father never even yelled at me.
That's everybody's different.
But he's terrifying.
Yeah, my dad was terrifying.
Yeah, like
he's the bejesus.
Like my father and I've inherited a little of it. I yell at my son because he just needs to be yelled at a lot, a lot. And my daughters the other day, I said, "Have I ever yelled at either one of you?" And they both looked at each other, and neither one of them could figure out one time where I yelled at him. I'm not a yeller, though.
They're girls.
I'm not a yeller, but still, though, you still have to yell at some girls. My daughters are just good kids.
Right.
You know, they're not perfect. They're not perfect.
No kids are perfect.
Exactly. Like, if you don't think your daughter in high school and college is going to go out and get their drink on a little bit and experiment and some stuff, if you're going to yell at them for that, of course they have.
My daughter has. I'm just thankful enough that she's been open and honest about it, at least. Her mother took her on a cruise, and on the cruise, she kind of opened up a little bit. And then her mother, of course, texted me, "Hey, did you know your daughter has drank before and she smoked before?"
I'm old is she?
What? 16.
Duh.
But then I had to go back and go, "Greg, stop for a second.
Yeah, please.
Think about when you were 16. What was on your mind? What was your mind frame? What were you doing?" I was like, damn it, man.
Yeah.
I was getting it at 16.
16?
I got it in at 16.
12. 12.
Listen, dude, you had Miss Parker across the street. A little bit different.
Dude, you were 12. At 12, we were getting it in at 12.
That's too early, man.
In Montreal, it's cold in Montreal, bro.
I mean, I get that. There's
we inside a lot. No. You know what I mean? We can go on the playground. What we do is we get a bottle of a Southern Comfort, pass it around, and get you drunk.
Not Alizé.
No, I didn't. We lucky to get Southern Comfort back in the day. To this day, I can't drink Southern Comfort. I threw it up in somebody's boot once. I threw up a whole lot of it in somebody's boot. In their lobby.
Why the boot?
And it was just what was close. It was close. And once I get there, I'm in a bad place. I've been there a long, long time.
Boone's Farm.
But, you know, these kids these days, and I went and spoke to these kids at Northeast football team.
Okay.
My boy Jeremy, Brooke Bennett's man.
We'll see her Sunday.
Yeah, she he coaches Northeast. So I talked to the kids, and this is what I said to the kids. And I said, you guys have to hear what everybody's saying about millennials, because you always hear that millennials.
Yep.
And I don't even know how old millennials are. I really don't.
The 20 somethings right now.
Okay. And I said to the guys, I said, if you guys listen to what they're saying about you guys and accept it, shame on you.
Right.
That doesn't have to be the way it is.
Right.
Because millennials are this, millennials are that. You know what you say? I'm not.
Right.
That's I don't care what you say I am, I'm not.
Right.
Because if you just conceded to what you were supposed to be your whole life,
right,
we certainly wouldn't be sitting here.
Absolutely.
You know? Because, I mean, there's so many times in my life where, like, when I left Montreal when I was 19 years old or 18, people said I wasn't good enough to play junior college football in Iowa.
Sure.
You're not good enough. I guess I am.
Right.
So somebody who thought I wasn't good enough to play junior college football in Iowa, how wrong were you exactly?
Right.
On a scale from 1 to 100, how wrong were you? Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you sit back and listen, listen, Obama was our president.
Yep.
Then Donald Trump.
That's a great, great way to put it.
Anybody can do anything.
That's fact.
Like back in the day, that was not possible. It's certainly possible.
It is now, just with, like you said, with the way technology is and just the way the world has changed. People can tell you no all the time, but if you can find a way, if you want it bad enough, you will find a way to get it done.
Well, the thing is, there's so many jobs out there, and there's so many CPAs and all these different people that have experience that don't have jobs, okay?
Sure.
If you are a millennial and you do have a little dog in you,
right,
you're in a good situation.
You're in a great situation.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So you're a young kid hungry with fight.
Right.
And I always said, you know, I say this to everybody, and I said this to everybody that came in my house. Like, my daughter grew up playing basketball, okay? So there's a lot of young kids, boys and girls, coming through. A lot of them are athletes, you know? Some come in with basketball. They look like they play basketball.
Sure.
And, you know, we had a bunch of kids from Jesuit come through. And I remember this one kid, I'm trying to remember his name. I think it's Jack was his name.
Okay.
And I should know his last name, but I don't. I always go to kid, are you... You play basketball? And they go, yes, sir. I go, are you a dog? And they would look at me like I would startle them. And I go, are you a dog? And they would go, what do you mean? And I would just walk away. Okay? So this kid, Jack, I walk up and I go, what's your name? He goes, Jack something, sir. Who do you play for? Jesuit. I go, are you a dog? He goes, yes, sir. And I stopped. And I look at Zayna and my daughter. I go, that's the one.
Right.
Later on, I'm working out in the morning over at Yo Murphy's place. 5:30 in the morning, I see Jack. A couple years later, Jack's working out. I go, you're the kid I met in the house. He goes, yeah, that's me. How you doing? I go, appreciate you getting up in the morning and working hard. All right? The next time I saw Jack was at the state finals, when Jesuit made it to the state finals, and Jack was on the team, and he made the first 5 buckets of the game, and they're all threes. That's not a coincidence, dude.
Right. No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
That's not a coincidence.
Right.
So these kids want to get up at 8. They want to get up at 8.
Right.
You know, they want to eat what they want to eat.
Right.
They don't want to do nothing extra. They don't want to be uncomfortable. Jack was uncomfortable.
Right.
And that was us growing up. We didn't have, like, there was no difference. You know, we didn't have any bad. If we didn't grind, I'm still going to be there.
Right.
Now I think a lot of these kids they have so much.
They do. They're entitled. And again, it's just, we're in a different generation. They came into this world.
It's the same world, though. That's the thing.
It is the same world, but it's an advanced world. So access to them, for them, I should say, is way more than it was ever for you or for I.
But you know that's bad. In the long run.
Again, of course it is. They don't have to do what you say. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't have to, I don't have to be a person who has to do hard work. I can sit at the computer and play video games and have a career.
Mm.
That kind of opportunity is out there now. Mm. So I can start an IT company because I understand computers. Or I can, you know what I mean? Like,
but that's easy to say. That's easy to say. There are some smart kids out there, but when it comes down to it, the reason why Bill Gates is worth billions and billions and billions is because he's a dog.
Right, he had passion.
Okay, there's passion. I guarantee Bill Gates, you know, dogged out a lot of people on the way through.
Sure,
okay?
A lot of people didn't believe in him.
He was in his garage, whatever.
Right.
And listen, if you get a billion and you keep on fighting until you get 20 billion,
Come on, man.
Because right. I'm stopping at a billion.
Right.
I'm good at a billion. I'm going to Jamaica. I'm going to chill. I'm getting my own little island.
Right.
You know, own little drink girls or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as my wife's okay with that.
Right.
And then we go from there.
Yeah, he wants 40 billion.
He wants 40 billion,
billion.
To give away half of it.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of dog to me. But once again, looking at these young kids and the elementary school I went to the other day, I tell you what, when I walked up and the kids were acting a fool, I said, yo, for the next little while when I'm talking, you guys are going to be quiet and I'm going to speak and I'm going to let you ask some questions. I said, I start talking. One kid throws his hand up and I said, let's go over this again. I'm going to speak.
Right.
And then afterwards, you're going to ask questions. You can just tell that nobody really gives them orders.
Okay.
And for 10 minutes or whatever 15 minutes that I spoke, nobody said a word. Not one word. And I bet it's been a long time since they shut up for that long.
Okay. That's good intel, because I'm going to have to go.
I got it from my father, though.
Right.
I got it. I inherited it from my father.
That's good, though. I got to go speak to the same kid, so I'll start the twitchy eye before I speak to him and say, look at me right now.
Yeah.
And then settle
down. You don't
look
like them. They might shank you.
They may. I look more like Casey.
They were like, this white guy's telling me what to do.
All right.
Let's go shank him.
Okay.
You coming strapped.
I'll shank back.
You coming strapped. You come up in elementary school strap like that?
Gun one, gun two, right?
You got the pythons?
No, I don't.
You've been working out?
I'm trying to, but I was in an accident, so I'm not really supposed to be working out that much, but I'm having some issues on my left side of my arm. I don't know if it's shoulder, but everything on this side is pulling to the it's like pulling down. Mm. So it's strained. I can't get comfortable. So it's not good right now.
You're not getting out there. You're biking, doing anything?
Biking, yes, because I'm trying to keep moving. Mm-hmm. But at the arenas, I'm up and down steps a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm getting a good workout every night, literally. Like, I will be in the 300 level and then back down to the 100s all within a matter of minutes.
Yeah, you got
to
go up and down.
I got to go. Got to go. Cool.
That's a good workout.
It is a good workout.
I actually started, at the beginning of this week, I started my Weight Watchers thing.
Oh, that's good.
And Weight Watchers is...
And here we are at Anise. And
I know.
Is that on the... You get points?
Well, this is the one thing about Weight Watchers. You can eat whatever you want. You just can't eat a lot of it.
You get points.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the thing with Weight Watchers. You can either eat a big thing of brown rice and a big thing of vegetables and some grilled chicken or two whole chicken wings. So I'm saying, you see what I'm saying? When you weigh it, you're like, those chicken wings are so delicious.
Right.
But I could have ate all this. Like, you can eat a slice of pizza.
But that's it.
But
the
then,
day.
Well, no, come on. Look, dude, there's a lot here.
Okay,
bro.
So
maybe for some little skinny 85.
Yeah, so your calorie intake is more than like somebody that would be.
Everybody.
Everybody. But that's part of your plan, right?
Well, I mean, I deserve more calories.
Do you?
Yes. Absolutely. Well, that's what Weight Watchers is.
Oh, okay.
Well, the thing, that's not just Weight Watchers, that's everybody. So,
say
my wife goes on the same diet I go on.
Right.
You think we're going to have the same portions?
No.
Of course not.
Not even close.
I would probably have maybe at least twice as much protein. I weigh twice what she weighs, almost three times what she weighs.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? I got to survive too.
I get that, but you're supposed to survive on less.
No, that's the thing, though. If you eat properly, which is fruits, vegetables, lean protein, you could eat a lot. That's the way the world works.
Sure.
You could eat a lot of that.
Sure.
You could eat
vegetables all day.
Yes, you could eat very few donuts.
Right.
Okay?
They're not.
You could have a Krispy Kreme. You could do that.
Yes, you can.
Moderation. Or you can have 12 egg whites,
right?
And this and that,
and
then
right. No, I get it.
But you know, and listen, I like Krispy Kreme donuts, but I haven't had a Krispy Kreme donut in a long time.
But you've had some mini donuts.
I had some mini donuts. Mini donut factory. No, I haven't though.
In the last 365 days,
I've probably eaten mini donuts in all four times. In all, that's not a lot.
Yeah, but how many did you eat at those four? Times?
No more than six. What's that, a lot? You're acting like that's a lot. I've seen little girls
Dude,
eat.
I can only
four
eat
mini donuts equals one donut. So I eat a donut and a half.
But if you,
I weigh 300 plus.
If you're going plus, though, that's a lot of bacon and sugar, player.
Dude, you know how many girls can eat six of those mini donuts?
Listen, I don't know.
I'm not of this earth.
Six.
I'm not of this earth, bro.
I only get the three pack and I'm good.
Come on, man. You're a big dude to be talking about three packs and whatnot. We're hanging out here at Anise, and we have the chef, Ian, his name. Ian Traumer is going to come out with some food in a little while. I'm also going to have Ryan Brown down here to talk a little bit about beverages. He's the beverage guru. He knows all the liquors and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And next week, actually, we have it aligned. We already know we're going to be next week for the podcast. By the way, this is Ian Beckles Flavor in the Year. We're going to be at Eulalie next week.
Oh, great.
And the great Jeff Houck is going to be my special guest.
Awesome.
Big old Jeff.
Getting Mr. Gonsmart on or what, man?
That'd be cool. I mean, talk about, you know, giving cats in the area.
Yeah, he's...
That's a giving cat.
Especially for USF.
And awesome. His you know, everything he touches is gold. No, for real.
There's a couple of those guys in Tampa.
Not a lot.
Definitely. There's a
not a lot.
That's what I said. There's a couple.
There's a couple, but
he's this definitely is, one.
But it's not only touching and gold, it's also their reputation.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody's going to talk bad about Richard Godmar.
Nope.
Or they're not going to talk about Jeffrey Vinnick.
Nope.
If somebody talked bad about Jeffrey Vinnick, I'd be like,
what?
What's your name again?
Yeah, what?
Where are you from again?
Mm-hmm. No.
I wouldn't talk out loud. You know what I'm saying?
No, Godmar's awesome. And his restaurants are fantastic.
Yeah. Columbia is one of those things where you don't go often, but every time you go, you're like,
"This is the best.
Why don't
thing
I
ever.
Come here? Yeah. Just that salad is fantastic.
You know, even that, you know, the 50.
It's fantastic. 1509?
What is it? Too, because I'm thinking
what is it?
City.
Yeah,
1809.
Whatever the numbers
it's
are.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. And I try to replicate it at home because you can go get.
You can.
It's just not the
it's
same.
Not the same. Just, yeah, it's
they do it
there.
Really good there. The ham is different or something there at Columbia.
Oh, man. If they were smart, I think they could bag that and sell it at Publix. And, I mean, it'd have to be fresh, but you know how many people would buy that? It'd be the Columbia 1509 salad.
What you got to do is you got to sell it separately and let people put it all together.
So they can make it themselves.
Put the sauce here. Put the
olives and all.
But then again, come on. It's not rocket science, but it kind of is.
It is. They have their own special essence that goes on that, and it just makes it spectacular.
You been to Goody Goody yet?
I have been to Goody Goody.
My wife brought me a burger from Goody Goody the other day.
Fantastic.
So good.
I've had breakfast there. Mm-hmm. I think my lady had a burger, and it was fantastic, but it was a long wait to get in there, which is understandable.
What time was this?
When was it? Maybe it was a Sunday, probably because it was Sunday.
Well, you brunch. Go Sunday brunch or...
So it was a wait.
Yeah.
You got to know that.
It's
that's
like going
coming.
To Daily Eats on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea.
Anything down that area, Park, Soho, is going to be busy on a Sunday. We've been down there before. Chef Popcorn, people are just packing
Chef
that
Inspired
place.
Popcorn is crazy.
I mean, it's just crazy down there right now. And there's more construction going on. Ava, you know, 717 South, 717 South. I haven't been there in a while.
I haven't been there in a while either.
Great food, though.
Yes,
fantastic
really.
Fantastic food.
There used to be, my name used to be on the pot roast back in the day.
I do remember.
They
it
took
was
it
one
off.
Of my favorite.
It was really, really good.
It was fantastic. It was literally one of my favorite.
Yeah, they put
there.
Some pineapple sweet kind of thing on top like that.
They need to bring that back. Is that an off the main secret menu?
I probably can.
A lot of places have secret menus.
Yes, they do.
You know?
A lot of places do. And sometimes the little something on the side that you don't know about,
right.
That's the best dish, and they hold it for just, you know, the dignitaries,
because
they only got like six or seven of them or something.
Right.
And that's what you want to dig into a little bit.
That's one of those spots.
You know?
For sure.
We had a good time last week. We did the Ian Beckles show at the Blind Tiger.
Yeah.
And
Liliana.
Liliana from
Nutra Truck.
Yeah. She's
got good food.
She's got assets. She had assets, didn't she?
She was.
Her food was good too.
Did you see how the Twitter world kind of exploded?
They enjoyed
off of,
that.
They enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, we like to have fun with our social media. If you want to check out what we have going on, I am at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles.
At Third Leg Greg, and that's 3RDLEGGREG, and that's pretty much everywhere: Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Find me.
Well, this week we're going to be doing a show from Smoking Aces
in Plant City. Can't wait.
I know Brooke Bennett's going to be there. Lynn Austin's going to be there.
Yep.
It's from 11 to 1. And I think Mike Calta said he's going to show up, and Carmen is from that area.
Beautiful.
So maybe she could bring her pig by. She has a pig now.
Awesome.
They got her little pygmy pig or something.
Maybe not bring it to Smoking Aces.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. That pig is going to say, I'm not going
like, really?
In. I'm not
You're
going up in there. Yeah, the Chef Robert's going to be eyeballing him and bring him over here.
Yeah, get a little something of that.
She
pig.
Better not bring Kenny to my house either, because Kenny might just jump on the big green egg.
Ooh,
for about 8 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Delicious.
You know?
Love me some pig, man.
Yeah. Get that big green egg going. But I'm actually going fishing Saturday with iTrekkers.
Okay.
We did the big giveaway for a trip.
Is that the guy that's, that won it?
Okay. A guy and his son, which is cool.
Very cool.
I think we're going to be doing another one in another couple months. Go to iTrekkers.com/Ian.
Still need to get out
and,
there.
And you do.
I do.
Those guys are fun. And, you know, it's not always about catching fish, although catching fish is beautiful, and
sure.
You always catch fish with iTrekkers. Just getting out there in that water, bro, sometimes, it's really therapeutic.
Part of our culture here.
It is part of our culture. It's almost like yoga a little bit.
Sure.
You get out there and you're chilling and, you know, the air is hitting your face. And,
yeah, trying to stay upright.
Yeah.
Getting some leg workout from the rocking.
It seems like the last four times I've gone, it's been really cold, though, lately. unfortunately.
February is our cold time. It's really the cold month for Tampa is February. Mm. But it's going to warm right back up here shortly, man.
No doubt. You see the Grammys at all? You watch the Grammys?
Nope.
You don't watch the Grammys at all?
Nope. You know why?
Why is that?
Because for how many years in a row did I have to watch every single music event because of my job on the radio? It's kind of in those.
So you just don't want no, you want nothing to do with that.
I've lost interest. You know what I mean? Like, I love music. Don't get me wrong.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But for one night, I'm like, I'm turning off social media. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching the Grammys. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get away from it all, because when I log on tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. all that's going to be in my news feed is who wore what,
sure.
you know, who did what, mm-hmm. and I don't need to watch it anymore because I can relive it if I want to the next day.
I actually didn't watch it too much live, and I the next day I heard what everybody had to say about everything.
Sure.
Then I pop it in and listened to it and watched it and had my own opinion, and it was somewhat entertaining.
Okay.
A couple of three people got to lose their jobs. Okay.
Are going to lose their jobs?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
So when my boy from Metallica comes up there with Lady Gaga,
oh, yeah,
and they don't turn his mic on.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, so I watched that closely. I know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm watching. And he's, because my wife goes, doesn't he know he can't hear himself? I go, you can't hear yourself.
He's got his ear.
Yes,
ear
you hear yourself, you're in trouble.
Yes, right.
So I go, he has no idea that that's not getting out to the masses. And he went up to it three times, okay? At the end, I kept my eye on him the whole time. He took his guitar off his head and threw his guitar, which is probably very expensive, throws his guitar, knocks down the mic stand, and he was pissed. Like, these guys, the only job was to make sure that sound was okay.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And you couldn't turn on a microphone?
Dude.
That was bad, bro.
That was
really bad.
It's like the Mariah thing that happened on New Year's where, you know, she said she couldn't hear her earbuds or whatever. And they kept saying that she didn't want to sound check beforehand. And this is why we're supposed to sound check.
Well, a lot of that's on Mariah. No, she didn't.
Whatever the case may be, but that was another flub.
I think it's a different situation. And listen, I'm a Mariah Carey fan.
Sure.
I think she's fine. I like her music, but she's a diva to the third power.
There's not. No
and
more.
You know, I just think it's a different situation.
It could have been. But that at the Grammys where it's only about the music. But
that, like, and he's not lip syncing, which is better for me.
Right.
And so Mariah has such a great voice. It's a shame to hear her lip syncing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with people lip syncing if they're in an environment or they have to do a lot of dancing where they're not going to
I get that too.
You know, that I get. Like, if you're in New York City and it's 50-mile-an-hour winds and I still have to perform in downtown and the wind's going to be blowing into the mic as I'm trying to say, okay, I get that because it's still you. You're the one who performed it. You're the one who went into the studio. You laid down the track. I don't have really a problem with it, but if you can do it live and you're lip syncing because then you're being lazy, I have a problem with that.
Well, a lot lazy or just you're just not good enough,
or that's who you're old.
Like Lady Gaga at the Super Bowl, I thought
she didn't lip sync at all.
At the beginning, she did.
She may have because of where she was coming.
Yeah, she was singing over a track, and then when she sat down, then she started to sing.
Right, because of the circumstances.
And I understand that.
Right, because she's 100%. On top of a stadium,
she can sing.
Sure. She can sing.
A lot of them can't.
Right.
At all. You know? Studio. Britney Spears ain't never, never.
Yeah, not a big fan.
One time I took my daughter to see Hilary Duff. That was the worst
I feel bad for you.
I've ever heard in my life.
Hilary Duff.
That was the worst. She's the worst singer I've ever heard. That's hard to say. She had a concert, and she was the worst singer I ever heard.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't go.
You know what I mean?
Thank you for saving me that one.
So what, I'm not going to ask you who you voted for. I don't care who you voted
for.
It doesn't matter.
I didn't vote for either one of those two.
How long does this last? It's been a little over 3 weeks.
I'll say this, man. I've been trying to watch, you know, nonpartisan news, just getting information and watching the facts of what is coming out of the mouths of the folks that are in his cabinet and the people that are working for him. And you cannot, as a normal, sensible adult, when you hear the things that they are saying, the things that we were taught in school about our judicial systems and the executive branch, you start judges, Supreme Court, when you start going through all that and you start going, that goes against everything we've ever been taught our whole lives. And they're just saying because the president is who he is, he doesn't have to follow any of that. basically putting it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. No, he's Donald Trump. He doesn't have to follow any of that. Like, what we say is what goes. I don't think it'll last more than 2 years at the most, and that's a long stretch. I don't think he's going to be last a year.
I think people are at the beginning were worried about what other countries are going to think of him, or what, you know, women or
sure
some racist guy is going to kill him or something. It might come from inside, okay? Because he's trying to change politics,
right?
And politicians are not going to let him change politics.
No.
It's been the same forever. If Hillary went in there, Hillary would say, well, guys, I know how it works. Let's roll.
Right.
Okay. Donald Trump's rolling in there saying, you know, F you.
Yep.
I don't care. You're fired. You didn't do nothing wrong, but you're fired. And F you and F you.
Yeah,
okay. So I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, you F you and everybody. You know what I'm saying?
So-called judge. Yeah. I'm a Supreme Court judge. You're calling me a so-called judge.
But this is the thing.
Are you a so-called football player?
I hope not.
You see what I mean? Like, but disrespect.
But when Donald Trump is going at these people and doing his own thing, and that's what he's doing.
He's doing his own thing.
Sure. Okay.
Sure.
He's doing it unlike anybody's ever done it before.
Right.
So he's going against a lot of rules. Who's going to bring him down? That's my question. Who's going to bring down Donald Trump? What judge? Who's going to mess with Donald Trump?
Nobody.
What lawyer is going to mess with Donald Trump? What judge? Who's going to say, we're going to go after Donald Trump? Who's going to do that?
There will be people.
He's going to change everything there is to change about politics. He's going to change it all. Every last bit of it. And then somebody's going to go, yo, you snitching on our stuff, dude. You snitching on what we do.
Right.
And somebody from the inside is going to go, this is not going to work anymore. And I'm going to snuff him out. No, for real. Okay, I'm serious, man. I mean, they're going to say, you can't tell everybody our business. Because he's telling people their business.
Listen, he's one person. The law of the land, he is not bigger than the whole picture. He's not bigger than
he thinks he is. But he's not asking anybody anything right now. Like, I don't think Obama did one thing without asking 10 people.
Sure.
Donald Trump is tweeting stuff every day, and nobody's going, come on, dude.
But at some point, when the infrastructure's crumbling, it's going to have to stop, and somebody's going to stop it. I don't know who that is. I don't know what court system the Supreme Court's going to say. If the Supreme Court comes out and says,
Somebody's got to lead it.
Somebody will lead it.
Who?
Some older guy who's older than Trump, who's going to say, I don't give
Donald
a damn, young
Trump
man.
Will smash him. Listen, that's what he does. He's a smasher.
They'll impeach him. And when he's impeached, you have to, it doesn't matter. The federal law will come in and arrest you. You don't think he can get arrested?
Everybody's scared Donald Trump.
I'm not saying people are not scared of Donald Trump, but I don't think in the world that we live in this day and age, he will be stopped at some point.
He's what do you mean?
Stuff that's going on right now with Russia, and they keep saying that that he's got something on Trump, whether it was the hookers peeing on him or whatever it was.
But who cares about hookers and urine?
Listen,
where would that be on the list of worst things that happened to Donald Trump? I mean, seriously, what, 90? I can think of 89 things that are worse that would make me think. Yeah. Less of Donald Trump than that. I'd be like, that's cool.
Right.
You know, there's 89 things where I'm like, that's not cool.
But why all this talk with Russia? Like, what is going on? Is Russia trying to control the United States?
Oh, there's stuff going on.
There's some stuff going on. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. In the court of international law, he will get shut down somehow.
Somebody was saying something like, and I'm going to just kind of break it down. I don't know all the specifics. I guess Rachel Maddow or something has it on her blog or her site or something. Something about way back when they bullied some oil company to sell all their stocks. And I guess Russia and Trump and his people bought all the stocks.
Okay.
Okay. So now he's in cahoots with these guys. So he went from saying, that's my guy, to I don't know him.
Right.
Like in a month. So, and then you're going to fire your boy, Flynn, who didn't do anything wrong. That means, first of all, on the way out, Flynn's going to get a buttload of money on the way out from somebody.
Sure.
Because you're going to have to say, you sign this here, we'll give you this much, and please don't tell on us and all the shenanigans and tomfoolery that's been going on. But that's what happened, though. Who gets fired? He don't do nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong.
There's something, there's stuff we have no clue about that's going on right now. No clue.
Then the other dude, Andrew Puzder, or whatever his name is, he was like, put his name in the hat, And then afterward, he pulled it out. And he was like,
nope. Yep, I saw that.
They talking about my mama.
Yeah, none.
They talk bad about him, dude.
None.
And he was like, I'm not doing this to myself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's unprecedented what is going on right now. It is absolutely unprecedented.
Oh, boy.
And nobody knows what's going to happen because we've never been in this situation before. So I don't know how it's going to fare. I don't know how it's going to end. There already are people who are asking for his impeachment already.
On what basis? You just can't. There's people who are asking for his impeachment.
Sure.
Before he even got into office.
Sure.
Okay, so the people are asking for it right now. There's no basis to that. Okay, he hasn't done enough to be impeached to this point. Okay, but not enough to be impeached.
Man,
of course not. No.
If you sign a document and you state that on this document, I swear to hold the truth, blah, 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 that I will completely cease all of my business aspects. I will now bequeath those duties onto my children. I am completely removing myself from all my business affairs. My name is Donald J. Trump. Let me show you this paper that I signed, like he's been doing. If he signs that document and then continues to do everything he said he would not do, you think he's bigger than the court of law? You think the law is going to say, Mr. Trump, did you sign this paper? Yes, I did. So you basically went against everything you said on this paper. You signed. This is your signature. So now we have the law.
Paper. Listen,
you're in jail.
Listen,
arrest his ass. Bye-bye.
Let me tell you what politicians are allowed to do.
Listen, man.
Listen to me closely. Listen. This is what politicians are allowed to do. Lie. They're allowed to lie. And they're allowed to tell you whatever the hell they want to tell you. Because they don't have to tell the truth. Actually, it's to the point where they can't tell the truth anymore. They don't know how to tell the truth because they haven't told the truth since ever. So if you go back, no, seriously, what politician told the truth? Seriously.
I mean,
the other day, your boy Pence came out on Twitter.
That's your boy Pence.
Your boy Pence came out on Twitter, and it was Black History Month. And you hear what he wrote?
Oh, yes.
He said, like, big ups to Abraham Lincoln for freeing the slaves. Dang. Like, you couldn't even do Martin Luther from like ages ago, but you went way back to a white guy that on Black History Month.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If you go listen, not to get too political right now, but if you go back and dig deep, okay? Yeah. Everybody praises Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Go back and look deep.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln said, I only did it because I had to. Not in those words, but I didn't have a choice. If I could have done it my way, I'd have kept them slaves. He said in other words.
Right.
Go back and read it. Okay. I didn't make all this stuff up.
Right.
But it's, you know, I don't believe any United States president has ever been a hero. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it.
Okay.
They're just making decisions because of evolution and money.
And intelligence and information. That's all they're basing their decisions on.
Not so much information. They're doing what they can do to make these billionaires smile. The billionaires have to stay smiling. That's for sure.
Yeah, because they got all the money.
And that's
what runs
okay.
infrastructure and
so
financing.
When all that oil is seeping into the ocean,
right?
And Obama didn't blow it up. He could have blown it up first day. Blow it up and it's done. He let it seep in the ocean and let them tell us that there was like, oh, there's like 1 gallon a week. And it was like 88 million gallons a week or something.
Right.
What's going to happen here in the next 2 years? You know what's going to happen? He's going to go speak to them and they're going to give him $10 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a game.
It is. It's a terrible game, and I don't like any part of it, to be honest with you. I just, as a American, you hope that you have put people in the right positions to keep things moving on a positive and progressive path. And when we cannot, it is way above us. There's nothing you or I can do that's going to change any of it. So you just have to hope that common sense and practicality come into play at some point.
Common sense and politics?
It doesn't. I know. Oof. That. I know.
They don't go together.
You hope.
That's an oxymoron.
That it doesn't affect you personally. Mm. And when it starts to affect people personally, like where your health insurance, you lose your health insurance, or, you know, why did my taxes and my paycheck just go from $400 a week to $1,200,
which happens when
those things start happening, and why is a gallon of milk $17? Mm-hmm. And when that stuff starts to happen, that's when you're going to see a bigger revolt. But I don't know if we're going to get to that point. I don't know if this administration is leading us down that way, but people feel that's the road we're going. When there's people that are in positions of power now that do not deserve to be there, and when I say do not deserve, I mean do not deserve. If I wanted to go run the city of Tampa, Bob Buckhorn, I want your job. I'm not qualified. I don't know anything about city policy.
What would make you qualified? If that was the case, then Hillary Clinton should be our president.
Experience.
What did Bob Buckhorn do to make? And I like Bob Buckhorn.
Experience.
Isn't that just common sense?
No, I don't think so.
But that's what everybody's going on for Donald Trump to be a good president is not his presidential and not. Okay, so if you're a good businessman, why can't you run Tampa? Why not?
Because there are policies and there are things to do with budgeting, and
Do you think at any time Bob Buckhorn adds or subtracts anything? No,
he makes decisions.
Okay, but there's people advising you on that.
You can run Tampa, but trust me. You need to have some intelligent information in your brain when it comes to. How do I get from X to Y to Z?
That's what life brings you.
I get
life brings you that. I can run the city. I know I can run the city. I know I can.
I know I can run the city.
But I don't want to do all that, though.
Why? You can help change our city.
Yeah, I know. I don't even really believe in politics in general.
I just don't get it.
I really don't. You're not supposed to get it.
I don't get it. I've never got it. Like, I understand why we have things in place, checks and balances, to avoid a dictatorship in our country, but it's like it's going that route. And it's like, wait a minute. Everything we have been taught, all the information we have consumed as adults from school to college to grown adulthood, all of that is being questioned at this point. That's why I think people are in uproar, because it's not to say that it's, oh, well, your opinion's better than mine or you're right and I'm wrong, but we have a system in place for a reason. It's to keep our community, it's to keep our country, there's checks and balances for a reason. It's to keep things civil and to keep things on an even path with humanity, if you will.
Well, the premise of politics in general, okay, the basis of it, if you look back, you look at the picture where they're signing, you know,
Declaration of Independence.
And they're like, all men should be created equal.
Right.
Okay. But there's no black people there.
Right.
There's no Asian people there.
Right.
There's no women people there.
Right.
There's no gay people there. I mean, so how equal is everybody? Okay. That's the premise of politics.
For sure.
I saw a show the other day, and there it was about the Ku Klux Klan. Okay. And I'm watching it, and they were showing how the Ku Klux Klan was dissolving. And you know where everybody was going? Politics. Like, they showed you. This was the grandmaster of the Ku Klux Klan. He went right here to lead this Democratic Party or Republic. And they went right into... And it wasn't that long ago.
No, I know.
Okay, so the mentality is still there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I don't know how you change it.
You can't change it.
Right. So you have to find ways to live amongst each other.
And that's why they go snuff up Donald Trump, because he's trying to change it. And he's like, who does this guy think? Everybody right now, even the people that voted for Trump and believe in Trump right now are going, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Like, what did I sign up for?
Yeah.
You know, and not all, but some.
A lot.
You're like, well.
Make America great again, man. Make America
You think Hillary Clinton was going to make us great?
I didn't. I didn't vote for either one. I voted for Bernie.
Out of all the people in this country, those were the two.
Those were the two.
I mean, you could have picked, you know, any other. You could have picked Michael Strahan and
The Rock.
He
may run.
The Rock.
He may run.
Ellen DeGeneres. I'd vote for Ellen DeGeneres.
I would vote for Ellen.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You know?
She's a
Oprah.
I love the person.
I'd vote for Oprah. Why are you hating on Oprah?
Because her billion-dollar entity, I just think that she'd go, you know.
She could just shut that down? Run the country?
And the one thing I will say about Trump, okay, is... He didn't need this job, right? He didn't need to leave his cushy billion-dollar
lifestyle. I'm not sure he even wanted it.
So at some point in his mind, what was the trigger to say, you know what, like you said, I don't really want to do this. It's for me, it's ego. I want to be the most popular person in the world. And he accomplished that. But then when he got to it, now you have to do it. So at what point does he go, I really want to help our country? Or is he like, I want to help business. I want to help the infrastructure of the world finance by dominating again. That's what I felt his Make America Great Again sentiment meant, which I agree. Why is it when you go to Walmart, everything's made in China? I agree.
Everything.
Why is it not made in America? There is some sort of issue there. I agree with that.
Well, that's the most cut and dry thing in the world. You want that answer?
Right.
We can't make it. We can't make it because we don't have anybody that's okay. Everybody wants to send out every immigrant around.
Right.
We already can't make anything.
Right.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Okay. That's a big problem.
So we do need to bring that infrastructure back, and we do need to bring businesses back and source it, not outsource it to another country and bring it here to America. Those points I get, and you just have to wonder though why would he leave a cushy billion-dollar lifestyle, TV, the whole nine, to want to take on the headache and the strife of running our
country. Can I answer that question for you?
Sure, I'm asking.
Okay. I think it would be silly to call him a narcissist, and it'd be a waste of the word, okay? It'd be a waste of the word.
Okay.
Because if you look it up, his name, his face is popping up.
Sure.
He's so much of a narcissist that he has like his own category of being a narcissist. So being rich and all that's great, but he's more powerful now.
Right.
It's about power. That's it.
That's all it is.
I mean, there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. Right. I've hit the plateau.
Yeah.
Why
do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to become governor?
He already did.
That's what I'm saying. But he was already Miss Olympia. Right. He was making all kind of money. He didn't need the money.
It was the power.
It's the power.
Okay.
Okay, so and Arnold Schwarzenegger might be our next president. You don't know. He's going through that whole path of the Celebrity Apprentice. And
that's why I think The Rock is going to be in the
Donald
running.
Talked bad about him too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And then Arnold came back and put him in place.
I see Arnold dot his eye.
Oh, dude, Arnold would destroy
awesome.
Him, bro.
That would be awesome.
He could bench press Donald Trump.
Yeah, Arnold's getting a little old right now. We're going to flip the script a little bit.
We're
going to talk a little liquor and some drinks here with Ryan Brown. Pretty simple name, brother. That's easy. Everybody knows how to spell. Everybody knows how to spell that. Absolutely, absolutely. So we're here at Anise, one of my favorite restaurants in the area. Got hip to it not too long ago. Been here two or three times ever since. How would you explain what type of food this is?
I think it's a little bit of everything. So kind of food from all around the world, mm-hmm. but with a little bit of an Asian flair, Eastern flair.
Very nice. Underneath.
Yeah.
And Singh, the owner, is from where?
Vietnam.
Yes, I'm looking up here some of the art, and she told me that's her grandmother, I believe.
Yes, and her nephews are up there too.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean,
so those pictures up there are places that all of the ownership, the pictures from their travels.
Mm-hmm.
So those aren't like stuff we found on Google Images.
Those are actual real pictures.
Yeah, those are real.
That's amazing. That makes it even better, right?
Yeah, right.
That makes the story even better.
Definitely.
Now, I know you guys are known for your wonderful food. I've known Justin for a little bit.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah. And Carlos, I was here when he made me an old fashioned, which I thought was the best one I ever had. So you guys are known for your drinks.
We're very well known for our drinks. We're very well known for our food, but definitely
no
for
doubt.
Our drink program.
And that was something that was important to you guys from Jump Street?
From Jump Street. We've always done an entirely fresh bar program. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is fresh lime, fresh lemon juice, no type of store-bought mixes, fresh fruit. We don't do any flavored vodka, any artificially flavored anything. So
good
it's always
you.
Been 100% from the get-go.
Wonderful. Now, I mean, I've known Justin back in the day. He's the head of, what is the Bartenders Guild, is it?
He is the vice president currently of U.S. Bartenders Guild Tampa chapter.
Nice.
Wow.
Those good people to have around
And
here.
He's also on the board at the Strass Center for Performing Arts as well.
Very nice.
So
what do you say your normal clientele here is? I mean, there's some people walking by, but is it normally people in the offices? What's the normal clientele?
It definitely depends on time of day or time of the weekend as well. I'd say overall young professionals. So I'd say somewhere between 25 to 30. I think our price point weeds out some of the college kids, so we don't get much of the UT kids.
Okay.
We kind of steer clear
that's
of that.
Okay.
And then, of course, everyone who goes to the Strass comes here. That's kind of an older crowd.
Yep.
And then, of course, during lunchtime, we're going to get some of the business people. So it depends on time of day, honestly.
Absolutely.
No, I'm saying Strass is one of our street lace clients, like one of our biggest
Absolutely.
Ones.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
There's always a good eclectic grouping of shows that come through, so I'm sure your clientele is always, you know, changing, obviously just because you have a different influx of people that are coming down here to
right.
check out the shows across
Depends
the street.
Depends on the show, across the street.
Same
you
with
get a
Curtis
different
Hickson,
crowd.
Too. I
yep.
mean, cannot have a better location.
But Curtis Hickson, you know, their clientele can be
everywhere.
Kind of up and down.
Sure.
Strass, not so much.
No.
That's pretty much up.
It's uppity.
It's up, yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah, it's like Greg Wolf type status.
You know? We like really to be polite and call them wine drinkers.
Whatever. But they spend money.
Yeah,
oh, definitely. They spend good money. Oh, we're not complaining. We're not complaining.
No doubt. Now, Justin just the other day brought me on a tour in the back. And that little room you have back there, and right away I'm like, it's probably holds 35 people.
Like a banquet area?
Little lounge area.
Okay.
And got different system and little bar out there. And I see some dignitary type
outings. I was just going to say, like a happy hour out there or something.
So that's like a private lounge?
During the week, we use it as a private event space. But what the goal of it is to open up a very intimate, multi-sensory cocktail experience. So it'll be an entirely different concept, initially open on Friday and Saturday nights. And as business warrants us to open, or business suggests that we should open on a third or fourth night, then we'll move forward at that time.
Now, what sets you guys apart? We were just, you were kicking a little knowledge earlier about some of the alcohols. We were talking about scotch. We were talking about some gin. What sets you guys apart from some of these other bars? Because I look and I see some bottles I've never seen before.
Right.
But everything seems somewhat high end to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say definitely you were hitting it on the nail on the head on the first. Mm-hmm. Definitely some higher end stuff. So I think selection right when you walk in. I think a lot of what drives people to go to a certain bar is ambiance. Mm-hmm. So I think we have our own identity. A lot of, especially when you sit at the bar, the majority of the bar team has been here for 4 years, really since the inception of Anise. So I think that people recognize a face when they walk in.
Sure.
And I think it's every individual personality, man. I really believe that people come back. I think people come here for, as far as the bar is related, I think people come to the bar initially because they hear our reputation, but I think they come back because of the way we made them feel. So I think that's really mostly what sets us apart.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Good Lord.
Just the whole 9 yards, and now they're starting to bring up all this food.
Oh, my goodness.
And what's the name of these? You guys call these?
Stinky Buns.
Stinky Buns.
Stinky.
Yeah. And actually, you know, Singh actually told me the whole story behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't be the story that you would think.
Right.
You know, I know it's kind of an odd story, but how she called her husband Stinky or something like that.
No, it was, specifically two of the buns have a type of fermented cabbage of sorts. One of them is the pickled daikon radish. So when you're doing that process, it kind of stinks up the place.
Ah.
I mean, even if you put your nose to the barbecue pork one, which you just had in your hand, like, see, you smell it? That's the kimchi. That one's not quite as stinky, but definitely the pickled daikon here on this barbecue one. And so it was a kind of a funny play on the process in which we make the buns.
Well, we're going to bring your chef out here real quick and have him explain what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of our kitchen managers, Ian Traumer, he's back there right now. He actually cooked the food today. So
let's bring him out.
Okay.
All right, we got Chef Ian Traumer here from Anise, going to explain to us all the stuff that he's brought to us here. It's all delicious. Weight Watchers-wise, it may be about 17 days worth of eating, but it looks like it's going to be a good time, though. Chef, what do you got for us?
All right, well, today we're starting with our truffle tater tots with a creme fraiche dipping sauce. We hit that with truffle salt on the way out, so you get truffle all the way through it. Over here we have our chicken buns. It's got a tzatziki style sauce, which is basically cucumber and mint, fresh cucumber, and then the chicken is actually tossed in a curry cocoa sauce, sweet curry cocoa sauce. So all that together is really, really delicious. Over here we have our lobster roll and chips. The chips we actually do in-house and toss in a brown sugar, garlic kind of salt and pepper crunch, which is awesome. This is the lobster roll. It's one of our favorite sandwiches here, actually. It's really, really good.
I've had that, and it's fantastic. And tell me about the wings. I've had the wings, and I'm gassing them up. Those are amazing.
Well, the wings, what we do is we lightly bread them, fry them, and then they go back in the fryer before they come out to get nice and crispy, because we actually soak them in our curry cocoa sauce. So that way we try to keep that crunch and get a nice, deep, sweet curry flavor all the way through.
Beautiful. And now tell me about these stinky buns. Let's hear about these.
These are probably one of our biggest sellers, since we are a share and tapas style kind of restaurant. Our sticky buns range from Korean barbecue style. We have a panko shrimp, which has a aioli on top. We have the pork belly, which has kimchi, lettuce. It's delicious, and it's actually tossed in a galbi before it goes on there. One of my favorites is the zucchini bun.
Okay.
The bun sauce that we use sets off the zucchini,
okay.
And then we add some of that crunch that we put in the chips, okay. Right over the top. Man, it's awesome.
All right, now that we've indulged in a little bit of food. A little bit of food here. These stinky buns are delicious.
God,
so good. Lobster BLT is amazing.
Even the tater tots, fantastic.
The truffle tater tots, huh?
Unbelievable.
So good. But those wings to me, those sticky wings.
It's definitely a different textured
wing
with the double, like hitting that fryer that second time. But it's just...
I've never seen them like the texture is different. You don't usually have fried hard like that and be sticky at the same time.
It's fantastic.
It's a beautiful Asian feel. So over here at Anise, we were talking to Ryan earlier about the drinks, and they really do drinks up right.
Oh yeah.
And my boy Carlos was there, did an old fashioned for me, top notch. You know what I mean? And everybody can make every drink, but somebody has to be at the top. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Craft, especially craft drinks. In this area, as well as craft beer.
It's becoming a big deal.
It's really a big deal. So when you find these places like Anise that really do it right, you definitely want to continue to come back.
It's like almost, I think St. Pete beat us to it.
St. Pete beat us
to the craft, you know, cocktail.
For sure.
Not so much the craft beer, but the craft cocktail thing.
Sure, absolutely.
And they have a couple spots there downtown St. Pete, but listen, I'm a South Tampa guy. I don't want to have to drive all the way to St. Pete.
But if you're down there,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely explore Central Avenue area and that whole corridor down
there. But they have nice drinks here. I was talking about Cask has nice drinks over there.
Cask is another good one.
And you don't have to go too far to have fabulous drinks.
And Dats, believe it or not. Dats has a fantastic... My girl Morgan over there is running that bar program.
And Rue is right around the way from the crib.
Yep, right around the way. Lots of Rue.
Some of that good... Slow down. We ain't walking all that
far. You could, though.
I could, but...
Yeah, but you ain't walking.
Slow down. When I walk, I don't walk to eat. I walk to exercise.
But it's nice that you could if you wanted to.
Absolutely. I'll probably take my bike, though, you know? But we're going to be hanging out... this weekend on Sunday at Smoking Aces in Plant City.
Can't wait.
It's going to be fun. We're going to make it a party. They got a wonderful barbecue over there. So that's where we're going to have Dignitary Radio. Next week, Flavor in Your Ear is going to be at Eulalie with my boy Jeff Houck.
Right up the road.
Who I like to take pictures with because he makes me look, because it's slimming.
That's a big man.
It's a big old man.
That's
a big old man. I gave him his only hat that he ever wears.
Yeah.
It's a TB hat, and it was 8 1/4. You don't see 8 1/4 a lot.
No.
And I actually have a hat that I'm going to give to him. I have the same hat. It's a black and pink lightning hat.
Oh, no.
That's 8 1/4. That's too big for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it to him.
It's him, though.
The last time he almost cried, he's like, this hat's beautiful. Like, he got a big old dome on him.
Yeah, man.
So he couldn't find hats nowhere.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Fitted joints, yeah.
Hey, they're starting to make 8s now, which is good.
Big brother.
I appreciate y'all. New era. You know how that goes, you know.
No doubt.
Since I kept you in business the whole way. So what else? Street Lace, man. What?
Street Lace?
Explain Street Lace. What's going on at Street Lace over there?
What is not going on? I think it'd probably be a better question. We're all over the place, man. 2016 was a really good year for us as far as the marketing, events, our DJ network, which now Ian Beckles is a part of our Street Lace DJ network as the Dignitary DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a great job entrenching ourselves here in the market, but we're not a new company. We've been around for 10 years.
Okay.
But it was really this past year that we really took things to another level, really took it full scale. Me leaving my, 9 to 5 corporate job with you over across the street, and my business partner left Delta after 15 years, and we knew we had something here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, as you know, relationships and networking that we've done over the past few years have all start to finally come to fruition.
It's all about relationships.
It is all about relationships.
Really,
and getting the college football playoff a deal for us was a huge one to really start this year.
Mm-hmm.
We did all the grassroots marketing for the college football playoffs.
That's
huge. We were saturating everywhere in Tampa Bay, the whole entire Tampa Bay area, not just downtown. And they had record numbers this year for the events surrounding, all in downtown. And so they were very pleased with the work that we had done. And again, they talk to people. They have relationships. Hey, who's that team you guys used in Tampa? Oh, it was the Street Lace guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good year for us. March is crazy. We've got 9 hockey games coming up. A lot of people don't realize that we provide the DJs for Amalie Arena, for
the Plaza,
for Thunder Alley,
the Bud Light Party Deck,
nice. Sometimes the Heineken Rooftop. Yeah, most people.
I didn't know about the Heineken Rooftop.
Is right off of Section 2.
It sounds high, though. I don't like the heights.
No, it's not that bad. It's got a fantastic view of Channel Side.
Okay.
It's literally on the club level. Mm-hmm. It's like Section 216-ish. There's another platform, another outside patio party area. So we handle all of that. So obviously 9 hockey games coming up. We've got the Gasparilla Festival of the Arts right here at Curtis Hickson Park.
That's, you guys are doing that?
We're doing that as
good
well.
For you.
That is March 4th and 5th. We did it last year. I'll be hosting that event this year again. And then that same night, actually, I have a Lightning watch party at the Tradewind. So I'm pulling double duty with the hosting gigs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Jamaica. In March as well, so I'm looking forward to that.
Get a little loose, a little bit.
You know, I mean,
it's a little bit,
just a little bit, just because it's right in the middle of the crazy month, so I deserve to just take that break in the middle.
Listen,
and
you don't
recharge.
Have to explain to me.
No, I don't need to.
You don't need a reason to go to Jamaica. Just go.
Exactly. That's what we
plan
on
doing.
You
know how that goes, no doubt.
The Bolts Family Carnival is coming up again. That's a charity event where they basically, like you said, they transform the ice into a carnival land where there's player autographs. You get to play games with the players. It benefits all Children's and Shriners and a lot of great charities in the area. So I'm hosting that as ringleader again. That's March 19th. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good things are on the horizon for us. We're working with the new Powerhouse Gym, which opened on Hillsborough Avenue. We're working with Johnny and Matt and those guys to kind of get the word out about their grand opening, which is coming up February 25th. Mm-hmm. We've got a Golf Like a Rockstar event that we're doing with the Gulf Coast JFCS. That'll be along with our friends at the Bone. We've got some celebrities that are going to be playing with us at Top Golf, you included, to help us raise money for their charity. So we've got a lot of different things that are on the horizon just in the next 60 days.
Well, I see street lace everywhere.
And that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. If there's any DJ or any music or any events or whatever, street lace is
there. Yeah, people don't realize we're more than just DJs. We have a whole talent roster. So you got a kid's birthday party, I need a bouncy house and a balloon artist and a face painter, we got you. You need something bougie for your, you know, upscale event at the theater, and you want sky artists to be hanging and dangling from the rooftop.
We got that.
You need a car. We got a carnival. We want our church to do. We have carnival rides that we can get you that are licensed by the state.
Where'd you get the carnies to put it together?
We don't have the carnies.
You have no carnies.
They're carnies, but they're upscale carnies. Is there such a thing? Is
that no, nope.
Is there an oxymoron?
Nope. Upscale carnies.
I don't want to say upscale carnies. That may be a great name for a rock band. Carnies.
Well, that's not bad.
That's a great name for a band.
Like being an upscale carnie is like being the slimmest guy at fat camp. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I get you.
Still carnies.
They're still carnies at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But we like to prefer them as upscale.
Yes.
But yeah, we can get you all that stuff, man. So you just hit up our website, which is streetlaced.com, it has all the information. We have wedding planners. I mean, we have everything now. And we're only getting larger, so
I love it.
Check
us out. Streetlace.com. Always present at the Ian Beckles show that I am doing every Sunday.
Yep.
102.5 The Bone. This week we're doing it at Smoking Aces. Come and hang out, and it's a party. Trust me, it literally is a party. And we're always doing places that have wonderful food. Anise has wonderful food as well. If you want to come by here and get one of these wonderful craft cocktails, which are the joint, okay,
and
the food is absolutely fantastic, and it's beautiful decor in here as well. Anyways, I'll be back next week. We're going to be at Eulalie with Jeff Houck. He knows a lot about food. He knows a lot about all the restaurants in this area. And Richard Garnsmart has done a whole lot in this area as well. So we're going to keep it light. We're going to have a good time. We're going to eat some wonderful food.
Can't wait.
And we're going to talk about the goings-on in our area. So everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's here. That flavor in your ear.
flavor. Bringing that flavor. Flavor.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I never forgot one lady. I get a Yelp review and we just opened that says, I will never go back. There was fat on my brisket. So we put the quote on the wall. You know, I have that big chalkboard wall. And it said, our brisket is fatty, says some lady on Yelp.
Yeah.
It turned out, you know, it turned out to be my mom's, like, good friend.
Oh, no.
Found out about it. She came in and had a talk with me. I took it down since, but it was just a – it was great. So let's talk about Yelp. I think Yelp – first of all, I think it's for people that have nothing to do after dinner.
Assholes.
Right? Like, I've been out to tables, and I don't have a bad Yelp. It's fine. But it is just – it is the most ridiculous site ever. And unfortunately, people use it.
They pay attention.
I mean, people use it, and – I had a lady standing outside. We don't open for lunch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I literally had two ladies outside of my door today. I was inside doing paperwork on the Yelp app, like looking where to eat. And it's, you know, it's a shame because I don't know. I just think there's better ways, you know, like, you know, I like open table reviews because, and I don't know if you use it for reservations or not, but at least you know that there were confirmed diners and you're in the restaurant. And they actually checked in for their reservation and they can make a review versus the guy across the street.
Sure.
Or some guy who hates Brian Duffy because he's on TV or he's
exactly.
Got cool hats. You know what I mean? Like there's got to be a verification process to it.
Well, there's not. And that's the problem. You know, I mean, you look at these and now we have elite Yelpers who the more that they promote, you know, they end up getting invited to things. They get rewards for stuff. So the more you review, the more you
get. I think they get free breads. They get free breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.